today I want to talk a little bit about, well, about joy. You know, life can be many things for us as we live it out. It can be fun. It can be pleasant. It can be full of love for each other. Of course, there are the opposites as well, but I don't want to get into them today. Both the good and the bad are things that come and go depending on our situations, though. But as believers and acceptors of Yeshua as the Messiah, there is one thing that we should have that does not just come and go. It shouldn't change as our lives change, and that's joy. We're to have joy in our life. But we don't get joy. We don't gain joy from our lives or the things of our lives or the things that are around us. Joy only comes from Adonai and by his promised eternal salvation. The one thing that should never fade is our joy from knowing that he loves us. But our eternal joy is similar in that it's a promised eternity that we look forward to. We make it through these hard times of our lives by keeping our eyes on the eternal future. Not our feelings of what's going on here and now. If we were to base our joy on our feelings or circumstances alone, then joy, you know, would be very hard to come by. But man-made joy is not the joy that we're called to look for. For so many of us, being joyful is not about changing where we are in our life. But instead, it's how we perceive our lives here and now. How we are supposed to get through it based on what Adonai tells us. Obtaining joy means changing what we expect out of life and deciding what we put into our lives so that we get out the joy that Adonai wants us to have. I'll say that joy is offered to us by Adonai just as assuredly as salvation is offered to us. But like salvation, it's only profitable. It only does us any good if we accept it as a means that he's given to us as a gift, I should say. It's not something that we work at. It's not something we work on. It's really a gift from Adonai, just like salvation. Joy can be seen as something that's promised and depends on how we look at our life. It is as if we are promised joy by if we were going to travel on vacation and someone promised us a great view from a hotel window, and we get there and we look down from the window and all we see is a parking lot, and we think there's no joy in that. What we have to do is lift our eyes up, though, past that parking lot. And there could be a great mountain range that'll bring us that great joy that was promised. We have to look beyond the parking lot. Just like we do in life sometimes, we have to look beyond where we are. Are we really going to allow ourselves to look down at the necessities of life to ruin the greatness of the view? Look how Peter writes about joy in 1 Peter. He says this in 1 Peter 1:3, starting there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. In his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua from the dead. An incorruptible, undefiable, and unfading inheritance has been reserved in heaven for you. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this greatly, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. He says, you rejoice in this greatly. But what is the this that he speaks of? The this refers to the salvation and inheritance that Adonai's promised. Like that hotel room with the great view, it's the same as if we're only looking down, looking at the parking lot, or even a garbage. You know, I've been in hotel rooms where I looked down and all I saw were the dumpsters. We have to keep our eye on what he wants us to see. Life will have its times where there's a lot of garbage. But that is not what we're to focus on or what we're to meditate about. These things of life can play with our emotions. Joy is more than a state of being. It's more than our emotions. It's a result of choice that we make more than the feelings that we have. Feelings are things that others give us or that we give to ourselves. But Adonai has so much more to give us. Joy is one of those things that we get from him, as we're told in Galatians 5. Starting in 5:19 of Galatians. Now the deeds of flesh, so he's starting off a little bit further back. The deeds of flesh are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage. Did I hit the right? Yeah. Selfish ambition, dissension, fractions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, just as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So first Shaul lists the things that don't give us joy, then the things that do. The deeds of the flesh are the things that play with our emotions, which can throw us off and cause us to feel emotions that are not from Adonai. But the fruit of the Ruach, or the fruit of the Spirit, are the things that Adonai gives us as a gift. They are not something that we are to do on our own, but we are to accept them along with the promise of eternal salvation. The fruit of love is listed first, but we need to be a little careful about how we look at that. Love of God will lead us to joy of Adonai. But know that we have two loves. One love is for Adonai, and the other love is for everyone else. The love of Adonai gives us the abilities to love everyone else. It also brings us joy. However, the love of others is not supposed to bring us joy, but it will bring happiness to both those you're showing love to and to yourself. When we separate the idea of happiness and joy, happiness can come from multiple places, but joy only comes from Adonai. We're instructed in how to gain the joy of Adonai in John 15. John 15:10, starting there, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. The reality is, we are not to have a joy that we create ourselves, or that the world creates. But we are to have a joy that only He can create for us. We are to depend upon it, and that will carry us through any valleys we go through in this life. It comes from Him when we are obedient to His instructions as found in the Torah and in all Scripture. Scripture is given to us as a gift so that we can find our way to His joy that He has for us. Scripture is a roadmap to Messiah and our walk in Him. It gives us not only a map to Messiah, but to eternity with God, as we are told in Hebrews 12. So Hebrews 12:1b, actually. Let us run with endurance the race before us, focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And he has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Him, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and lose heart. Yeshua endured the agony of the stake by the joy of what was before Him. We should ask, what is that joy that was set before Him? It is faith and what He saw with His spiritual eyes that allowed Him to endure even torture and death. His joy is the same as our joy. His joy is being in the presence. Well, let's put it this way. Our joy is being in His presence for all eternity with other believers. Now, Yeshua is part of the triune of Adonai, right? It's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the Ruach. So for Him, I don't think we shouldn't be saying it's His joy of being in His own presence, but it's His joy is that we are all in His presence, all believers for all eternity. Our joy comes from our faith, our belief in Him, and belief in our place with Him for all eternity. Excuse me. This eternity is determined by our answer to Him of either yes or no. If yes is being in His presence, accepting Him, then no, that refusal to believe and trust in Him, is the no that leads to eternal separation, which is pain and suffering for all eternity. This is called hell by the world. We need to understand that He does not punish anyone for saying no. Instead, it's that you're not availing yourself to the protection that is Yeshua from the eternity of suffering. He wants to protect all from eternity, that eternity of suffering, which is the hell of separation from Him. But it only comes when we say yes to Him. By saying yes to Him, we accept the payment that He made for us, for our sins, so that we didn't have to pay it, so that we don't have to pay the death penalty, so that we are not separated from Him by our sin. Now, when are we to look? I should say that a different way. We are to always be looking to Adonai for the joy that comes from Him, including good and bad times. Look what we're told in Proverbs 17. It's a short one. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. What is it that you need good medicine? Now, some medicines are good for when you're healthy, and they're called like supplements, you know, vitamin supplements, things like that. And they're meant to keep a body healthy. But normally, it's when you're sick and feeling bad that you need medicine. Now, the word for cheerful in Proverbs 17 is sameach, which different versions translate as merry heart or happy heart, or the ESV says a joyful heart. And I would say that you cannot get to the place of a happy heart if you don't go through the process of having a joyful heart, which is one that knows where your joy comes from. The world may be satisfied with things that they have and may think that they're happy, but the true joy that we as believers should have does not come from things of the world, but from the knowledge that comes from the Ruach, which tells us who Adonai is, who Yeshua is, and how we can live to be with him. In fact, in Philippians, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us about rejoicing or having joy in Adonai. Philippians 4:4 is one that a lot of us know. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord is near. Not only does Shaul say to rejoice, but he repeats it in order to emphasize it. He says to have joy in Adonai and to let others know so that they can have joy in Adonai as well. But I want to look at the word always there. The Greek word is pantuta. Pantuta, I think that's how you pronounce it, which only has one meaning all the time. And when you look at a definition, it says basically the same thing, but with a lot of different words. It says always, all the time, or forever. When are we not to have joy? Never, because we're told to always be joyful, always rejoice. Yeshua commanded Satan to stand aside, and we're to do the same thing. We're to avail ourselves of the power of the Ruach by doing three things, so that our joy will not be stolen away. And we're told what they are in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. There are three things that we're told to do to remain in his will. And that would also mean to retain his joy, since that's his will as well. Perhaps we should say that these are the things we're commanded to do. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. All three are to be done all the time. It doesn't say to do them just in the good times, but it also doesn't say just to do them in the bad times. It says all the time to do them. Just as Adonai is the God for us all the time, we are to be his people all the time. And that means that we should expect to be with him and have our joy all the time. This means that his all the time, this means being his all the time and him being our God all the time. It's a two-sided thing. They both happen all the time. And as a result of always being his and him always being our God is joy for both of us. Because he rejoices over us as much as we rejoice over him, and maybe even more. Remember what it says in Zephaniah 3:17. Adonai your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will delight over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will dance for joy over you with singing. The prophecy of Zephaniah was that Israel sinned but would be restored because Adonai has a great love for her. And he has a great love for each of you as well. It's because of this great love that he sings and dances over you. There is not just a satisfaction that he has over your returning from sin, but there's a great love and rejoicing that he does. Do not be mistaken how he feels about each person that he's created. There's a great love. And he sings and dances over each one who comes back to him. How much more should we sing and dance because of his great love and mercy that he shows us? We are to be filled with his joy all the time. As part of this joy is a great trust that we should have in him. Look what Psalms 118 says. 118:24. This is the day that Adonai has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day means that we are called to trust that God is present on this day. And this day is every day. Because if you say tomorrow, this is the day. And the next day you say, this is the day. So what we're saying is every day, every moment. Doesn't matter what's going on, great or small. Whether it's a season of grief that we're going through, or maybe just a difficult work day, we can choose to find joy in the small blessings, a kind word, a sunrise, just a moment of peace in the chaos. We can choose to find joy in the great things of his words and promises to us. Even in times of great distress, Scripture tells us what to do, as exampled in Joel 2. Joel 2, starting in 19. Adonai will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you the grain, the new wine, and the fresh oil, and you will be satisfied with it. I will no longer make you a mockery among the nations, but I will remove this northern invader from you. Yes, I will banish him to a dry and a desolate land, his vanguard into the eastern sea and his rear guard into the western sea. His odor will go up. Yes, his stench will rise. For he has done great things. Do not fear, O land. Be glad, rejoice. For Adonai has done great things. Thank you. At that time, there may have been no reason for Israel to rejoice. But Adonai knows better. He knew the plans that he has for them, just as assuredly as he knows the plan he has for you. And he knows that what he says is what will be done. He says that he has done great things. So remember what was done in the past to keep faith that he will do in the present and he will do in the future as well. If you don't have a reason in sight to rejoice, then your eyes are not on the things that he wants your eyes to be on. They should be on the Lord and not what's before you. If you know, I'm a Star Wars fan. So if you know when they train the young Jedis, part of the training is to put on a visor or a shield that keeps them from seeing what's before them. Sometimes we need to have a shield before us so that we only see what He wants us to see. We need to trust the Ruach instead of our eyes. There may not be anything before us that would make us rejoice, but when we trust in what Adonai says and what Adonai will do, then it doesn't matter what's before us. We know who is above us and who's with us, and then we can rejoice about the victory that will be. You are not called to rejoice when the victory happens. You are called to rejoice before it happens. Because Adonai is already making it happen. Don't look with your physical eyes, but with your spiritual eyes for reasons to rejoice. Waiting for victory to happen is waiting for a feeling from the action. Psalm 16 calls us to see things differently. Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set Adonai always before me. Since He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure, for You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor let Your faithful one see the pit. You make known to me the path of life. Abundance of joys are in Your presence, eternal pleasures at Your right hand. The psalmist speaks of fullness of joy in God's presence. This highlights that the source of joy is not merely a feeling, but the relationship that we should have with God, which is made possible through Yeshua and our relationship with Him. In His presence, there is hope and joy that we should never let go of. Now, I remember, boy, this is a lot of years ago. I remember a time that Rebbeson and I were going to take the girls on a vacation. It was actually going to be the first vacation that we were going on together. And just before the vacation, I learned I was being laid off. So we have a choice. Do we trust Adonai and go on vacation? Or save the money, cancel everything and save the money. Because we're only like 2 weeks from leaving. Well, we decided to trust Adonai. And what happened? We trusted Adonai. We had joy in his presence. And afterwards, when I came back, very soon afterwards, I got a new job. A better job. Our faith in Him is an indication of our joy in Him. If we do not have faith, we will not have joy. If we have joy in Him, then we have faith in Him. Shaul in Romans 15 again says this, Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and shalom in trusting, so you may overflow with hope in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. We want Adonai to fill us with joy as a way of being filled to overflowing with hope. Hope is the belief that something will be seen or done before we see it in our physical eyes. A child hopes that his father is going to bring a gift back from his business trip And he hopes it because he knows that every other time it's happened. So he hopes, meaning he knows it's going to happen this time as well. We have a great Father who never fails. Therefore, we have hope in him. The problem that some of us have is that we grow tired before we see what Adonai will do for us. We run out of hope that the good promises will be fulfilled. The joy is not filling us with hope any longer because we've taken our eyes off the source of our joy and our hope. We have to have joy and hope even when we are in the midst of the battles of this life. The examples are throughout Scripture. Psalm 27, verse 5, starting there, it says this, "For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his sukkah, conceal me in the shelter of his tent, and set me high upon the rock. Then will my head be high above my enemies around me. In his tabernacle I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, sing praise to Adonai." For in the day of trouble means there will be trouble. And perhaps they'll be so big they will have trouble seeing over the trouble. We have to realize that there are times in our lives that we will have to rely on our hope. We have to rely on our joy that's going to bring us our hope so that we will continue to praise Adonai even in the middle of that trouble. Even with the trouble that we see with our physical eyes, the trick is to allow our spiritual eyes to see over our physical eyes. We need to be careful, though. This is not a name it and claim it. When someone does a name it and claim it, it indicates to me that they see with their physical eyes and are trying to force Adonai into doing or supplying their wants. We need to be the ones that in times of trouble or want, we look to Adonai to supply all our needs, not our wants, and to know that he will do what's best at the perfect time. What we need to do is to ensure that we do not allow our hope and joy to expire before he fulfills his promises. If our hope and joy do run out first, it's not an error on his part, but on our part. It indicates that we try to put ourselves over and before his knowledge of what must happen and when it has to happen. He knows what has to happen and when, so we have to continue to pray, to allow him to watch over us and to be with us in the battle as we go through it. The trick is to allow our faith, to allow our joy in him to continue even in the battles, regardless of how long it takes to get over the mountain, because he's there with us to get us over the mountain. But Lord, I want to go this way. No, this is the way to go. But look at the rocks there, Lord. But those are the rocks I need you to go over, and I will be there with you. And how do we go over those rocks? With joy, with the hope that he supplies and the joy that he puts into our hearts. And we are not to allow that joy to expire, run out, diminish because of what we see with our eyes, but instead it gets built up. But what we see with our spiritual eyes and knowing the promises that he made are yes and forever. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, telling us to watch with hope, for giving us a spiritual set of eyes to see who you are, for giving us that spiritual set of eyes to look past the parking lot that's below us to the mountain range that's in front of us, to see our time in heaven, even though we're walking through our life here now. Ruach HaKodesh, we just ask that even if we stumble and fall and our hope and our joy dwindles, that you pour into us. We thank you and praise you that you are our source of hope and joy. And everyone said, amen and amen. You hear that, child? He's crying because he didn't get to hear this message.